talked about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Do you mind if I continue? It's all right with me, but let's get going.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Yeah, I suppose we did a bit of celebrating and did the podium thing and got to put on the podium pants as well, so that was quite nice. And saw the mother and the father and a few other people and took a few pictures.
You're going to have to speak in English for me.
How much white wine do you have to drink to go into a wine coma?
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
I don't get the reference.
Come on. Candy Spelling drinks white wine.
Okay. How would you know that?
She's a drunk, for God's sake.
All right. I'm not familiar with the Spelling's drinking habits.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
The pace of the elephant is slow, but crushing. And now...
Sometimes it comes off as condescending. I don't know. What does condescending mean?
Our feature presentation.
I have no idea, but that's a great question, young lady. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. Yeah, I got to say it's the, let's make it the 17th of August. How about that?
You're turning into Kevin already?
Yep.
Just guessing. Hey, what's up, ladies?
Nothing.
You know, gangster stuff.
Speaking of Kevin, I want to congratulate him. This is a little awkward for me to be the one to announce it. I feel like we should have let him do it. But he may not be back, as he has accepted PBS's offer to replace John McLaughlin on
really?
The McLaughlin Group.
I did not know that.
Apparently, this
I mean,
is
I can see it, but...
Of course. It just makes sense. Yeah. This is the job he's been waiting his whole life for, and he always said to me privately, and we never talked about this in the air, but he always said, you know what, the K-Rock job's fine, but if I get a chance to host the McLaughlin Group, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And I can't blame him for pursuing his dream.
I mean, and really, it's not just for him. That's for all of us.
That's for all of us, yeah.
He's amazing.
Well,
that desk.
They needed somebody like the late Mr. McLaughlin who was going to be able to condense the important and complicated issues of the day down to a way that the rest of us could understand it.
Sure.
And to be able to see all sides of a complicated situation.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, 34 years McLaughlin had that job, and now it's finally open. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Kevin. You can't blame him for going for it.
Yeah. They picked the right guy.
So we'll see if he comes back to us at all, but I suspect we've lost him. I guess we'll find out.
Sure.
How are you, Allie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I hear you left the house yesterday.
Twice.
What?
Twice, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I had lunch with friends,
mm-hmm.
and then I went back to the house, and then I went out again and got my hair done.
I'm surprised you didn't condense that into one journey.
I tried to, but there was too much of a lag time in between, and I thought, do I stay out and like do shopping? Ew.
Yeah, be with people.
How did you even like come in for work today?
I know.
You must be exhausted.
I'm very tired, Chip. Thank you for asking.
And I saw online that you are now in till fall. You've got nothing you got to do until...
Yeah, I've cleared my schedule till fall.
Till October, roughly?
Well, yeah. Yeah, okay. Sure.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. Well done.
Thank you. How about you?
Well, here my big news is that remember last week when I had a physical,
mm-hmm.
there was some sort of mix-up in my instructions, and I was not told that I must fast so that I could give blood for the complete workup for cholesterol and all these other things that they check. So even though I had only had a banana and some peanuts that morning, they said, nope, can't have anything. So they rescheduled my... blood draw for today at 2:15.
Oof.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be hungry.
Yeah, you are. Bean?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. So that's all I'm going to be thinking about today is how I'm not going to be able to eat until after 2:15 this afternoon.
And you know you can't have chocolate milk either.
I can't. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, I can only have water.
This is a bad day for Bean.
Yeah. This is rough.
Water
and Bean, us.
Yeah. Black coffee. Those are the only two things I'm allowed to have that won't screw up my blood.
Well, you're on like the Hollywood girl diet.
Apparently so. So anyway, so that's the thing. So I know I shouldn't have said that because I fully expect you guys are going to be ordering everything off the, you know, on every menu locally so that you can eat in front of me today. But I won't blame you. Speaking of eating, here's a story that's in the news real quick before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. And I think you guys will like this one very much. I missed this. I wasn't there. It happened in downtown Seattle yesterday, where a parking enforcement officer told a passing patrol cop that there was a man exposing his genitals to women on the street. which I think in most cities, and I believe Seattle is included, is illegal.
Yeah, I think it's illegal everywhere.
Really? Everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So the patrol officer found a man matching the parking officer's description, and by that I think I mean a man with no pants, walking into a supermarket in the 2000 block of Fairview Avenue, downtown Seattle. And he had just left a Subway restaurant. Police, they called for backup. They confronted the man. They escorted him outside. The 46-year-old man denied removing his pants, claiming he was just itching himself instead.
Oh.
Which by that, I think he means scratching. So, no, it wasn't what you thought I was doing. I was just itchy. He also gave the cops a false name and called one of the arresting officers a bitch.
Oh.
Which I don't know. A lot.
I don't think it bodes well.
I don't think it helps. The man was arrested. The officers on the scene interviewed an employee of the Subway restaurant where the man had also been. And those employees said that the man had entered the restaurant, shut the door behind him, then pulled down his pants and underwear, exposing himself and screaming, "Look at my banana," several times.
Oh, yay! Dear.
Who's hungry?
Look at my banana!
Wow.
Look at my banana!
Okay.
The display frightened the employees, the officer said. Another worker at the store reached for the phone to dial 911, which prompted the man to leave. The employee identified the man during the arrest as the one who had exposed himself inside the store. As he was being placed in the back of the patrol vehicle, the man called out, "Look at that ass. Come visit me in jail," to
wow.
a woman at a nearby bus stop.
He's not doing great.
He's not making a lot of great choices.
No.
So... apparently, he was just, I mean, I can only imagine either mentally disturbed, something going on there, mm-hmm. or just so horny that even being arrested and put in the back of the police car can't stop him from noticing an attractive lady standing at a bus stop nearby.
Yeah, I don't think that's horny, Bean. That is either whacked out on drugs or mm-hmm. you're having a manic upset.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, you don't think it's just super horny? Come on, really?
Well, I don't know how hot the lady was at the bus stop.
And the subway workers.
And the subway.
And all the random people on the street.
Well.
Jeez, Bean.
So apparently it's a very hot
Seattle.
Neighborhood. There aren't that many hot people in
Come
one
on.
Block. But let me ask you, ladies, does this work if a guy is being handcuffed and put into the back of a police car? If he yells out, "Look at that ass, come visit me in jail," is there going to be a high success rate with that light of inquiry?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, so you're in.
Jeez. No.
Police booked him into jail for investigation of lying about his name, indecent exposure. No word on pending charges for his charm offensive, this article concludes in the Seattle PI. But again, the takeaway is, hey, look at my banana.
Yay!
Do you want extra sausage?
I don't think the kids love that.
Really?
No, I think maybe the kids don't need to cheer at that twice.
All right, let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin Beach here, shall we?
I feel like everybody always gets what they want, and I never do.
Well, today you do, young lady, because it's another Bachelor in Paradise report. Ralph and Petros will be here at 8 o'clock to break down last night's episode. Also, UFC legend Randy Couture in studio with us on the program today. He's working for Bellator now, by the way.
Ooh.
A lot I want to talk to Randy about. How willing is he to discuss his ongoing persona non grata status with the UFC? You think that's something we can get into? Because
I would think so.
Okay. Because it's a fascinating story about how he's nowhere to be seen in the UFC, even though he's one of their, you know, founding legends of that that successful sports franchise. But they don't want to have anything to do with him because he's been very critical of Dana over the years. Mm. So that'll be interesting to see what's going on with him. Also, I'm looking forward to this. You sat next to a celebrity on a plane is going to be the topic today.
I'm looking forward to it just for your stories.
It has happened to me multiple times. And I bet it's happened to a lot of people because, you know, celebrities, they have a lot of different ways to insulate themselves from the gen pop
mm-hmm.
by, you know, having bodyguards in private cars and things like that.
Sure.
But on a plane.
Yeah.
You can't really get away from the people.
They're
right?
Right there for me to talk to.
Exactly.
Can't go anywhere.
So we'll
stuck in your seat.
Talk about that.
Who belted in?
That's right. You can't exactly walk away. Who says Pokemon Go is the devil? We'll find out. More tickets for our Breakfast with Sting on the program today. That'll be fun. Your phone calls with What's Good. And, of course, as always, Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat. And that's next, right after this on K-Rock. Right?
Right.
Who's with me? Who's with me?
Everyone.
Woo! Exactly.
We're with Beam. We're with Beam. We're with Beam.
You are, you're not going to say that, Ralph, when I play this piece of tape for you. I've been looking forward to this confrontation with you this morning after our discussion yesterday on Perry Mason.
Oh, jeez.
Which is one of the all-time legal shows on television from the 50s and 60s. Yeah. And you announced yesterday it's coming back. And Robert Downey Jr. is going to make a new version.
Oh, someone's calling.
And your complaint yesterday, all right, stop it. Your complaint yesterday was how unrealistic it was and how constitutionally vague they were on the law.
What? I never said that,
not once. I don't
remember
any of that coming out of his mouth.
Not once.
About how often Perry would break somebody down in the courtroom to, out of the blue, confess to a crime, which is probably not even admissible, by the way. But you were talking about how that happened in episode after episode, where he would always make somebody crack on the stand, and then they would announce that they had done the crime, right? Mm-hmm. It was always very dramatic, but very unrealistic. Well, I want you to know I watched a Perry Mason episode yesterday because I was so excited by our conversation about the show and how it was coming back. And here's how it ended. You tell me how wrong you were, and then you can apologize.
No, Mr. Nichols, you didn't kill Thompson, but you did, Mr. Wells.
Maybe it did happen that one.
So
that
it was
one,
exactly one as I said.
On that episode right there, maybe it's exactly what happened.
Something that never happens in real life ever happened almost weekly on Perry Mason. That's my point, and that you just supported.
Did you hear what Raymond Burr said when somebody said, why does this always happen? Why does this happen every episode? He said, well, you only see the trials I try on Saturdays. Ew! You're such a weirdo. And why are we both in a Perry Mason deep dive?
I don't know.
Why did I have that?
We were talking about it yesterday, and I couldn't help but. All right, maybe in that particular case.
It is such crappy 50s television.
Maybe it happened 290 out of 300 episodes, but still, sometimes it didn't work out that way.
F it.
All right, 5:54, time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Speaking of bad television, say goodbye to Kate. She is Kate. But no one cares. E has announced they are not doing a third season of Caitlyn Jenner's reality show. I am Kate. And here's the thing. All the surgery in the world can't change the fact that Caitlyn Jenner is basically a bland human being.
She's really boring.
Nothing going on there. Not much of a personality. Just when she was Bruce, she was dull as dishwater, and nothing has changed.
Yeah.
She was the worst thing when she used to be on the Kardashian show.
I think the first two seasons, which pulled in pretty good numbers, first season pulled in around 2.7 million viewers on average. Then the second season, it tapered down to about 145,000 viewers per episode. Was just because of all the publicity around her surgery and her transitioning. People were inherently fascinated by that process, but it had nothing to do with the person herself. Yeah. So she could not sustain. And so E! Will not be airing that show any longer, which is probably good for everyone. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I don't think we need it.
Justin Bieber famously has quit Instagram this week, of course. I thought it interesting to know that he was just the 7th most popular celebrity on Instagram. Did you know that?
No. I would have placed him higher.
Yeah. With his 77.8 million followers on his Instagram account, he was 7th. You want to take some stabs at who's got the top 6 slots?
Jesus,
very popular.
That should be, yeah.
No, I did not make the top 6.
I think I read recently that Selena Gomez was number 1 on Instagram.
She is not. Well, technically, I suppose she is. She is 2nd with 95 million followers. Instagram itself has 182 million followers.
Why would you follow Instagram?
I have no idea. I didn't even know that was a thing, following Instagram.
Interesting.
But that is number 1. Selena is number 2 with 95 million followers.
I assume
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne is not in the top 6.
I assume all the...
Count Smokula didn't make it, no. Hallie, would you like to make a legitimate guess?
I'm going to take the week off, actually.
People run audio?
Yep. Johnny Asshole.
I know how you feel in that situation.
Sturgill Simpson.
Right.
Is you Puig?
All right, go ahead, Ellie.
No, no. Mm-mm. No, go ahead. Have your fun. We got time.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Huell Hauser.
Oh, I would follow him.
He's Boba Fett.
He's dead. Boba Fett.
Easy mother f***ing E.
No. Hi, it's Kat.
No, she's not on
the Becky with the good hair?
No. Anyone else?
Charlie Manson.
No.
Stanley!
Who is Stanley?
I don't know.
And why would he be on the list?
Tokyo Tony.
No, she is not on the list.
Turd Ferguson.
No.
Anyway, what happened to Tom Petty?
Petty, not on the list.
Von Miller!
No.
Peta Murgatroyd?
No.
The Riddler? Is the Riddler on the list?
Dr. Drew Pitsky.
No.
Farrah Abramson?
No.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Paul?
No.
Paul!
Sister Sledge.
No.
All right, no. Let's move on.
No, come on.
No, I want to hear the list.
You all your hilarity?
We can go all day, but I'm interested in the actual story here. So Selena is number two. Who else?
Third with 88.6 million is Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, blech. Sure.
Blech.
Makes sense.
Blech. Fourth, Ariana Grande?
Oh.
Hmm.
She's fourth on the list with 81.9 million. Then Beyonce.
All ladies at the top so far.
Yeah, all ladies. In fact, because number six is Kim Kardashian with 79.8 million followers. Mm-hmm. Boy, does she just stick out like a sore thumb.
Right.
In comparison to all those other women, which regardless of what you may think of them, all do something.
They have
some
right.
sort of talent. Have provided entertainment on some level. And then at number six, Kim Kardashian West, just there, just being all there.
Yeah.
Meh. Her with her being. Today,
the Jefferson Starship.
Now we're done with that now.
Harvey Korman.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert De Niro. Little bit. 73 years old today. Sean Penn is 56. Donnie Wahlberg. Really?
He was a new kid.
Ugh. 47 years old today. You say that, explain it away, like as if that makes it all right.
I love them growing up.
And Juliana Rancic.
Mostly Joey.
Juliana Rancic is,
sometimes 40, Jordan.
Is 42 years old
Sean
today.
Was sweet. No one liked Danny.
She will celebrate by going back to her mothership.
Oh.
Visiting the planet.
Wow.
She's a gray. Let's face it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Not even a little bit. Hey, speaking of Coldplay, that is one of the huge concerts you can win tickets to on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. All week long, we are giving you your choice here on a Pick a Ticket Week on K-Rock to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl or Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium. So we got your chance to win those coming up. Plus, how about this? How about a concert in a tiny little room in the Red Bull Sound Space? Our Breakfast with Sting is right around the corner. We got those tickets, too.
Breakfast with Sting.
Right, I said that. Right, so keep listening. Allie, you ever get into the Pokemon Go?
I didn't.
Not for you?
It's not for me. I get why people love it, but no, zero interest. No, uh-uh.
Nope. A lot of Pokemon Go continues to be in the news. We haven't been talking about it as much lately, but there's this story out of Russia that has really captured my attention. And that is because they are not down with Pokemon Go in Russia. Some say... And here's a quote from a Russian security official. There is a feeling that the devil came through this mechanism and is simply trying to destroy us spiritually from within.
Wow.
Doesn't that seem a little bit extreme for people just playing a phone game? Is it Satan, really?
It seems extreme, but could it be true?
Hey, I guess it could be. a Russian Orthodox Christian movement known as God's Will has called for a ban on iPhone zombie, as they put it, gamers, from entering religious grounds. We've had some controversy here in America, too, about people who have showed up at churches and cemeteries and things like that.
Right.
While the Russian state media warned gamers that playing Pokemon Go in church or on international borders could put them in prison, it all smacks of Satanism, they say. So that's concerning. And then part two is there is an alternative game that you can play in Russia that they prefer to Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... The Discover Moscow photo app uses the same sort of technology so that you can catch historical figures. So, for instance, you can be out in Red Square trying to catch Ivan the Terrible. or Napoleon or Tchaikovsky.
Sure.
So go catch historical figures instead of Pikachu is what they're saying in Russia. So we wanted to find out more about this. It's very different in their country, in the former Soviet Union, than it is here in the United States. So we asked Dave, who can we talk to? We do have a senior Russian official named Franz Klitsechevich on the phone with us right now. I'm sorry if I butchered your name there, Franz, but thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
This is Klitsevich.
Klitsevich, yes.
Klitsevich.
Klitsevich.
That's right. Thank you so much, capitalist pig dog son of a whore.
Okay, well, let's all be friends here. I mean, I like
friendly with you, but you're a son of a whore.
Okay, so you are a Russian security official. This Pokemon Go has taken over your land the same way it has here in America, it sounds like.
Well, it has not taken over our land because we are not devil worshippers like you are.
But
so we are keeping people from playing Pokemon Go because it's the devil's work.
Why? Why is it? What does it have to do with the devil? It's just people having fun, just walking
it's
around their neighborhood.
Like it's fun. Going to hell is fun. Yes, absolutely. With pitchforks and eternal damnation, fire of hell on your testicles.
Okay, but how is Ivan the how's it looking for Ivan the Terrible, who is a known despot who killed millions of people? How is that any better, cleaner entertainment for the kids than searching for Pikachu?
Because it is good for people to catch evil people.
Oh.
It's doing teaching for goodness how to keep evil people from walking the streets.
Okay. Well, so we're kind of doing a public service by catching
them. Well, we are, yes. The Russians are, not you.
Oh, right, right.
Whore lady of the West.
I apologize,
well,
Franz.
I don't know that she's a whore lady just because
whore lady of West, and they're trying to get your devil ways into Russian culture with something we will not be having from you. Thank you so much. No, thank you, ma'am.
So a teenager is going to be excited about going in there and catching him some Tchaikovsky.
Yes, oh, how great is Tchaikovsky?
Well,
with all the music he has made for many peoples over the years.
Sure, I'm not sure that the young people care, but okay.
Oh, your Satanism with the Pokemon Go, got to catch them all. You catch them all in hell, pig dogs. That's where you'll be catching them. And if you try to do it in Russia, you will go to Gulag.
Oh, the Gulag, which is the prison, right, okay.
Yes, that's right.
All right, tell me more about the Russian version of the game.
The Russian version, Discover Moscow Photo App, is much for better catching bad criminals of Russia and also just famous people. You're going around Moscow, you say, oh, I have Nally in my phone here. I'm looking now. I just captured cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin.
Oh, first man in space.
How much fun that is. First man in space. I got him now.
Okay. Congratulations.
Isn't this fun, kids?
I don't know how much kids are going to enjoy that.
Let me see. I have now Mikhail Baryshnikov. What a dancer he is.
I mean...
Again?
I have Yakov Smirnov.
Oh, God.
He's crazy, that comedian.
I mean, it's going downhill here.
In my country, I catch Yakov Smirnov.
Right, yeah,
I see what
you did there.
In your country, you catch Pikachu.
Right. That's kind of like a Yakov Smirnov joke there.
Oh,
right.
Look, I've caught Stalin.
Stalin? Oh. Okay.
Now I have Gorbachev. This All is right. so much fun, kids. Everyone having good times?
Well, again, it's not not cute little cartoon characters, but...
Oh, I just captured Irina Shayk, supermodel Irina Shayk.
Go on.
Oh, I caught that in my pants. Oh, look, I have now captured Donald Trump campaign manager.
Oh.
These people you see around Russia all the time. Is this application having for you?
How about that?
Oh, look, I just captured Putin.
Oh, no.
Franz? Oh, no. Whoa.
Franz.
Don't catch Putin. Bad idea.
Dirty Heads on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. That's nice music for a warm summer morning, right? That sounds all right.
Yeah.
I'll allow that.
Okay.
There are lots of ways you can get in touch with the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we've got the Instagram and the Snapchat and the Twitter and the Facebook and, of course, the old-fashioned email. And you can also call and leave us a voicemail message. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. We've got it set up for you 24/7. Anytime you think of something you want to talk to us about, leave a message at 323-520-AFRO. Lately, we have been introduced to one of Rodney's friends.
Count Smokula.
And I think this is going to be very exciting news for you, Allie, because you haven't heard this yet. I believe Count Smokula is on the phone.
No. Kevin and Bean Show. This is Count Smokula. Ah, you mentioned my name on the air. It only took about 3,000 years. Oh, this is dank.
Guy built a very elaborate backstory for his character, Count Spookula there. Little Chip, who runs the controls here on the show, is the sweetest lady in the world. And she
Chip?
Chip, yeah. Very sweet girl. She doesn't pipe up very often. Every once in a while, you'll hear her tiny little voice.
Who are you talking about? Yeah. She pipes up more than anyone.
Well, this caller has somehow already magically fallen in love with you, Chip. Even though you don't speak often on the air, I think you've got yourself a big, big fan.
I'm calling to tell Chip to shut up. Oh. Shut up, Chip. Nobody wants to hear you. If we wanted to hear you, we'd give you a microphone. Hey, I'm in the corner. My name's Chip. Shut up, Chip. Shut up. Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
I don't think he's clear.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood his intention.
She's going to really enjoy these next couple of weeks.
Why?
Yeah, right.
Coming out.
Oh.
We were speaking earlier this week about the secret, that is the way that you, the laws of attraction, where you think it and it happens, and I believe this caller's had a lot of success with it.
Hey, Chuck, I heard you guys talk about the secret on the podcast, and I just want to say I've been listening to, been following the secret as well. My dad died, and I put his picture up on my vision board, and every day, all I think about is, all right, he's going to come back to life, come back to life. Aww. Yeah, so 5 years now, he's still dead. Yay, secret.
Yay, secret. Wow. Look, you can't give up. You can't abandon. You got to keep trying, sir.
I don't think so.
Just because it hasn't worked yet doesn't mean it won't.
Oof.
You'll be excited, Allie. This is a an update from Adele and her ongoing series of concerts at Staples Center.
So did you hear Adele wanted to do another encore at her last Staples show? The producer said, no, there's not enough time, Adele. And she said, but there's always room for... Hello.
See what he did there?
Yeah, it's Jay... Yeah, but...
So no?
Uh-uh.
Omar has done jingles here on the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years, and little song pieces that we play ahead of games and features and whatnot, and he's great at it. And every once in a while, we'll get a call like this from a listener who gets one of Omar's jingles stuck in his head, and sometimes you'll see how this turns out.
I thought I'd share this embarrassing moment with you guys. I was just walking down the aisle at my local Ralph, and I started to sing the Bean Makes Us Guess song, just out of the blue, and when I turned around, I was being watched by a couple of old ladies, and I was right in the middle where the song goes, who gets penis slapped? He is a dick. So, that happened.
I love the thought of him walking around singing that in the Ralph supermarket. That's great. Kevin is out today. He took his new job replacing John McLaughlin on PBS, but this is a call for him.
I'm going to need some help from Steve with some sexy music. Hit it, Steve. Hey, Kevin. I feel like they don't appreciate you on this show enough, Kevin. I think you're so funny. You could be my Lemmy, Kevin.
Oh.
Now listen to you talk all night. If you want to talk about soccer, chemotherapy, whatever you want to talk about, Lamb Dog.
It's real creepy when that guy does that.
Yeah.
Here's a caller about this conversation we had on the air. Now, Presidential Penis Museum.
Sure,
now
we're all in on that, right?
Of course.
I think we're all in on that.
So let me get this straight, Kevin and Bean. Both of you are all in for presidential penis.
Wow.
So it keeps getting better.
Right? Sure, why not? Who wouldn't be?
I would be.
Get a chance to see Franklin Pierce's member? Why wouldn't you? Here's a call about the Olympic coverage. Not everybody is enthralled with the choices that NBC has made for their coverage from Rio.
What is Ryan Seacrest announcing Olympic beach volleyball? He's not an athlete. My God, Ryan Seacrest.
Look, a lot of non-athletes are doing announcing, but doesn't Seacrest stand out more than everybody?
It makes no sense.
It really does. It makes no sense at all. I misspoke recently. We were discussing something to do with Star Wars, and I brought up, of course, one of the best characters in the whole trilogy, Boba Fett. But unfortunately, I said it this way.
Boba Fett.
And here's the caller calling me out on that.
You know who my favorite Star Wars character is? Baba Fett. How does he go again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Baba Fett. Baba Fett. You're an idiot.
All right. Thank you for that. And finally, our friend Mike Catherwood, who worked on the Kevin and Bean Show for 5 years and has since gone on to much fame and fortune with Loveline and his show on KBC. He's a frequent contributor to Dr. Drew's show on HLN. And this is why I think he's one of the great minds of our time and why he keeps getting invited to all these radio and TV shows, because you want this kind of insight in 2016.
Eat my butt. Yeah, eat my butt. Yeah, eat. Eat my butt. Yeah, eat my butt. Uh-huh. Not in a sexual way. No. Like in a cannibalistic way. That's right. Take my butt and cut it off and put it on a plate with a knife and fork and then eat my butt up. Yeah, like a meal. Eat my butt meat. Eat it all up like a cannibal. Eat my butt. Eat my butt meat. Yeah.
I am looking forward to hearing that in Ralph's.
Right, exactly. Be like Mike with less eating butt. 323-520-AFRO. It's the Kevin DeBede Afro Line on K-Rock. UFC legend Randy Couture joins us on the program later on today. He was in the Expendables too, right?
Right.
Done a lot of acting?
Yeah.
Got a lot going on, of course, with Bellator now, so that'll be fun on the way. And keep listening for your tickets for Breakfast with Sting. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. I want to give you a heads up. Kevin Smith and I once again taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose this Friday night at 10 p.m. Back to our old time and day. Love to see you come out to the Late Show on Friday to see Kevin Smith and I. Well, he gets baked, I get drunk, and then we talk about all the world of show business and pop culture. We have a pretty good time. Come on out. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No!
Friday night. Yeah.
Have you ever Freaky Friday'd it? You get baked, he gets drunk?
We've been threatening that for some time.
I need that.
To trade poisons to see how that dynamic would work out. But here's the thing. Kevin doesn't really drink. So we'd have to find something that would be palatable for him to get loaded on.
Hmm.
So like pina coladas or something. It'd have to be something sweet and easy to drink.
Sure.
Because he couldn't do the damage that I do.
I am so surprised that you are willing to be friends with somebody who doesn't drink, Ralph. I feel like that would be a deal breaker for you. Like you wouldn't trust a guy who doesn't throw back a few.
Well, it's just it's a different mentality. You know, it's like he uses pot like I use booze. Mm-hmm. So the sensibility is the same. It's just the weapon of choice is different.
So you'll allow it.
Yeah. It's not like he's drinking, you know, week-old chocolate milk or anything, you know.
Who would hang out with that guy?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Oof. That would be a different dynamic if that was the case. Hey, Sting, right?
Totally.
Sting is coming.
Sting.
Like Santa is coming right around the corner. And when he's here, we can talk about the fact that scientists have been inside his brain.
Sting.
Wait.
You heard me. Sting asked some Canadian scientists if he could get a tour of their lab. And they said, yes. And while you're here, can we look at your brain? And Sting said, sure. Here's my brain. And that's how McGill University got to analyze images of Sting's brain.
Wow.
They did a study of his brain using a functional magnetic resonance imaging system, or fMRI,
sure,
to map how Sting's brain organizes music. And they published their findings in Popular Science, and they saw that when Sting is composing music, it awakens regions of his brain that are different from those used in writing or other creative work.
Wow.
So he's got a special part of his brain that just deals with music.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating. So we'll have to talk about his brain. Now let's scientists poke around in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty bold.
So that is fascinating. Could there be a conclusion made that the kinds of people who are able to do what he does, which is to write music, they kind of are born with it a little bit? Or is that something that anybody can develop that part of the brain?
It could be biological.
How about that? Okay.
So composing music may be a biological anomaly. So sometimes why some do it so well and some cannot.
Can't
do
it at
so
all.
Well.
Right.
That's right.
Interesting.
Sting.
Yeah. Movie news. Maybe some of the best movie news I've heard in a long, long time. Reuniting two of my favorite comic actors for another film is always reason for celebration. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Yes!
Who were so good together in Talladega Nights and Step Brothers and a lot of stuff on Funny or Die. They are getting back together for another film. It is called Holmes and Watson. It will be a takeoff on the Arthur Conan Doyle detective pair of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Bitchin'.
I'm already laughing at thinking about those two being together. This, by the way, once again, is just another one of like a half a dozen Sherlock Holmes projects in the works. Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law apparently are going to return to the franchise as well. Then you've got Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu on television. You got Benedict Cumberbatch still doing Sherlock for
that's
the BBC and PBS.
That's my favorite.
So, Sherlock Holmes, still very popular.
I don't know, ask Tori Spelling's mom.
And a remake of a remake of a remake is in the works. There's a classic film called A Star Is Born. This film already has three versions. In 1937, there was the original with Frederick March and Janet Gaynor. Very successful film, which led to the remake in 1954 with Judy Garland and James Mason. And then in 1976, Barbara Streisand did one with Kris Kristofferson. It's a story of a star who runs across a beautiful, talented, up-and-coming young woman who then proceeds to eclipse him in terms of stardom, driving him to drink and eventually, spoilers, take care of himself.
Ew.
No, I mean...
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way, yeah. So the newest version will be the directorial debut of Bradley Cooper, who will play the male star on The Fade, and the up-and-coming star alongside of him...
Gotta be Jennifer Lawrence.
Nope.
Oh!
Does he?
Nope. Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga will star in the film.
I felt like for the last few years, it was rumored that Beyonce would be associated.
It was
with
rumored with that. But those rumors now are no longer
Lady Gaga.
Being rumored. Because now we know it's Gaga.
Did you watch her on American Horror Story?
I did.
What do you think of her as an actress?
I think she's good.
Okay.
She can sing.
She can sing, too. And that will be a big part of this film. She will compose and perform new music for the film. So Gaga will be a movie star.
All right.
What do you think? Anybody?
Yeah.
In, out?
I'll allow it.
I think I'm in.
All right.
I love that Bradley Cooper.
All right, there. Keep your pants on.
How can you not?
How can you not? Because he's from...
The great state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, more than that.
Great city of Philadelphia.
That's what I'm talking about! Philadelphia's own Bradley Cooper.
How did you not play Hot Fudge Holy Moly right then?
That's a good question. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania's own Bradley Cooper. Coop! As we call him back home.
Do you?
We do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Juliana Rancic. No one could see that. Yeah, doing my alien face. She's 42. She's awful.
Look,
just across the board.
I don't. I don't want to pile on just making fun of her bizarre, freakish.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I mean, just awful.
She is like a terrible television person. She really is.
Her hosting and her interviews. Just what? How did it happen? What happened? Where did we fall down?
Is she still married to the first winner of The Apprentice?
Bill Rancic.
They're still together, aren't they?
They are.
Wow.
Yeah. They had that that white hot reality show, Juliana and Bill, or something, didn't they?
Really?
Yeah. It was some awful thing they were in. Yeah. Anyway, she's awful, and she's 42. Donnie Wahlberg, who's not awful, he's on Blue Bloods.
Well, he has some tendencies.
I don't know what that means.
Blue Bloods.
He's on Blue Bloods.
He's on Blue Bloods. He's married to Jenny McCarthy.
What's his tendency? What does he do?
He's married to Jenny McCarthy.
Well, besides that,
it's awful.
What are his crimes?
I think I just named it.
Sean Penn's 56. He's got some tendencies too, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. And Robert De Niro, one of our best, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We might have
Hey!
we might have a girl fight next hour. It sounds like Allie and Christine are trying to decide who gets Randy Couture when he comes in next hour.
Neither of them?
Really? Yeah, I say neither of us, too. We're just saying what a sexy man he is. He just exudes sex.
I never thought of that before. Yeah. I don't see that at all.
Oh, yeah. So manly, yeah.
He's just not my type,
Haute
I guess.
Couture.
Really? Anyway, that'll be happening next hour here at the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Wednesday. We had a conversation off the air yesterday with our guest, Jen Kirkman, who I just love, by the way. She's delightful. And we were talking about air travel. And it occurred to me while we were having a conversation, we were talking about people she has sat next to on planes. I thought, I bet there are a lot of people who have gotten on a plane and found themselves sitting next to a celebrity. That is one area where it's a little more difficult for celebrities to distance themselves from the regular people than in other areas of their life. I mean, they, for the most part, travel on airplanes like we do. So
they're just like us? You're saying they're just like us?
Celebrities are just like us.
Someone should publish that.
And then I started thinking about it, and that has happened to me a number of times in my life.
Oh.
And it's a lot of fun for the person I'm sitting next to.
Oh, those poor people. Can you imagine?
No.
Oh, it must be like Airplane, where they're sitting next to Ted Stryker, and then one by one, they just find different ways to take themselves out, like immolate themselves and hang themselves and just jump out of the plane.
I don't know why you would suggest that.
I can't imagine.
And I'm sure it's happened to you also, Ralph, where you've sat next to a celebrity on a plane at some point with all the traveling you do. Who have you sat next to? Who comes to mind?
I was doing a flight from L.A. back home to Philadelphia, sat next to Kevin Hart. Was also from Philly. He was heading back as well.
That's fantastic. Was that fun?
It was very fun. He was a sweet guy, and we chatted a bunch. He had just donated an enormous amount of money to the Philadelphia public school system so they could buy computers for many of their elementary schools. He gave them an enormous amount of money. And so that was sort of the kicking off point. We started talking about Philly. We had gone. He actually went to the crosstown rival high school that I went to. Back in Philly. So we had a lot in common, and we had a lovely chat for most of the flight.
Now, I wonder how often a celebrity will just want to put on the, like Jen was talking about yesterday, just put on the sunglasses, pull up the hoodie, put on the headphones, do everything you can to not talk to the...
Well, you have to read social cues, Bean, which is where I think you might have a problem in these situations, is you start with an innocuous comment, like I said to Kevin Hart, hey, I just read the article about what you donated to the Philadelphia Unified School District. That was very cool of you. And he said, oh, thanks, man. And then he started to continue the conversation, and we got into the conversation about schools and stuff. So I could tell he was engaged. Had he put his headphones on or turned away or picked up a book or something, I would have left him alone, yes.
I feel like Kevin Hart would have been like, I mean, that's A-plus when you talk about who you would choose to sit next to on a plane. That sounds great.
It was very entertaining.
I, on the other hand, sat next to Chris Kattan on a flight one time.
Very similar.
Did not have a lot to speak with Mr. Kattan about, but he seemed very nice.
Did he do mango for you?
Exchange pleasantries.
No, I have mango. Did he do that a bunch?
My favorite, and by the way, we're going to take your calls on this topic. Have you ever sat next to a celebrity on a plane? We want to find out who it was and if you guys had a conversation and what the experience was like for you and for them, if you can gauge. So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. My favorite time was I got on a plane once a few years ago and sat next to the musician Bruce Hornsby. Do you remember Bruce Hornsby?
Sure.
That's just the way it is.
That's right? The guy. Very popular in the 80s, right? And then he, for a number of years in the 90s, he performed. He was part of the Grateful Dead, and he toured the country as their second keyboardist. And I'm a fan of not only Bruce's music, but the Dead's music. And it was a fascinating conversation that I had with Mr. Hornsby.
Poor guy. I can't imagine.
Oh, it was, fine.
What are you and Weir wear when you're going out to dinner?
I didn't ask that.
Yes, you did.
But I sense that kind of like your conversation with Kevin Hart is that we had mutual interests, and it was a conversation I think worked for both of us. I don't think I was okay.
Guarantee that didn't happen.
And one time I was on a plane, and I talked about this on the air, where I was sitting next to but across the aisle from. In other words, I was like in C, and he was in D. You know, it was one of those.
Yeah,
kind
we
of
got deals. Across the aisle.
Okay.
We understand what across the aisle means, yes.
And I'm sitting there, and who is 2.5 feet away from me but the great Buzz Aldrin?
Oh, how do you contain
Buzz
yourself?
Aldrin.
He didn't, I'm sure.
And you know how much I love space and astronauts and Buzz in particular. He's an American hero. I worship him.
Bean asked for a blanket so he could put it across his pants so he could unzip and take care of business.
I was too starstruck to say a thing.
You?
To the great Buzz Aldrin. Yes.
I cannot believe that you edited yourself.
I did not
speak
to Mr. Aldrin because what can I possibly say to a guy who's walked on the freaking moon? Right?
He said, hey, I'm Bean. He said, hi, I'm Buzz. You could have compared Creepy. You guys could have had Creepy in common.
A creep-off.
You could have talked about those ice cream trucks that you have that you run on the side and how you make women uncomfortable. You have a lot in common with Buzz Aldrin.
What ended up happening, Ralph, and you'll remember this, I think this will jog your memory, is I came back on the show the next time I was on, and I said, I can't believe I sat next to Buzz Aldrin, and I didn't talk to him. And his people heard about it and called us and said, you remember this, Dave. Hey, would you like to speak with Mr. Aldrin on the phone? And we had him on for that phenomenal interview.
We're still living that one down.
So 1-800-520-1067. You sat next to a celebrity. Dave, you hang on. I want to get your story in a minute. But first, let's go to Albert. He's in La Cañada. He's on line one. He's up first here on the Kevin Amin Show. Albert, thank you for calling. So you get on a plane, you make your way to your seat, you sit down, and who's sitting next to you?
Good morning, guys. I've had the fortunate experience of being next to actually a number of famous people on airplanes, mostly on LA to New York flights. But Britney Spears, William Shatner, the Allstate guy that I always forget his name, and I actually called him the Allstate guy, and Mary Carey, the adult star.
Wow, check you out. So I'm a little bit surprised to hear you say Britney because she seems like such a huge star that I would always imagine she travels with a security person who would sit in the seat next to her, but not in this case, huh?
Well, I knew her security back then, but by total chance, she wasn't traveling, and she was younger. This was about 12 years ago.
Okay.
And she was literally paraded by like five or six airport personnel onto the plane, but then she was alone. She was next to me. She didn't have any choice but to say hi.
And how was that? What kind of, did you have conversation with Britney Spears?
Yeah, she was okay. We talked for a little bit. I said, oh, like, hey, pleasure to meet you. Big fan, you know? Like, I've known you since I was 12 in ninth grade. Like shortly thereafter, the sunglasses came on.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
All right, Albert, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
I want to put sunglasses on during this phone call.
Let's talk to Marcy in Laverne, line 7. Allie, I think you're going to be with me on how this might have been the greatest moment of Marcy's life. Welcome to the show. Who'd you sit next to on a plane?
Betty White.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
Was it a medical flight?
Oh, wow. Well.
How dare you.
Was it a what?
A medical flight? Some sort of hospital plane?
You need to stop.
No, it wasn't a medical flight.
Oh, okay.
I was going home to L.A. from Atlanta.
And was she charming? And, was she charming and wonderful and hilarious and delightful?
She was charming and beautiful. She had to put on her lipstick before she took a picture with me.
Oh.
And she would have been nicer, but her handler dude wanted me to go away, like, just mind your own business.
Oh.
But she took a picture with me anyways, and she had a lot of alcohol on her breath.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That took a turn.
Drunken whore, right?
Sweet Nana that likes a nip.
Legendary drunken whore, Betty
White. Nana that likes a nip.
I will not let you besmirch the great Betty White. Thank you, Marcy. Appreciate the call. Let's
squeeze up to the cockpit.
Let's squeeze in one more before the break, and it's got to be Jackie in Redondo Beach. Look, Betty White, TV legend. Britney Spears, huge star. Mm-hmm. But who's going to beat Jackie's story, Redondo Beach, line 8? What's going on, Jack?
My husband and I got to sit by Muhammad Ali.
Oh, man.
How about that? Now, I guess the quality of the conversation would depend on how long ago this flight was.
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
And he was great. He was absolutely great. He showed us a couple of magic tricks. My husband wanted to shake his hand, and he has this huge hand, of course, but he was nice about it. He was funny and charming, absolutely charming, sweet man.
That is so cool. I just feel like, would you even know what to say if you sit next to Muhammad Ali? I mean, you'd just be starstruck.
We were, but we were younger, so we were kind of like, we just, you know, coming home from Vegas feeling good, and He was, too, and he didn't have anybody around, which surprised me. Plus, it was Southwest, so there wasn't any first class. We were in the bulkhead seat.
Muhammad Ali flying by himself on Southwest. Would you guys have expected that?
I dig it.
That's awesome.
I heard he didn't like to travel with security. He liked to be on his own.
Man really? Of the people.
Because he enjoyed meeting people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, he was definitely on his own. He even wrote a poem for my nephew. I asked him if he would do an autograph, and he wrote a little poem for him. Gave us an autograph, so it was great.
That's that's a wonderful experience. All right, Jackie, thanks so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Who'd you sit next to on a plane? Your call's next on K-Rock. We're taking your calls right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text the show anytime at the number 2-K-R-O-Q as well. About celebrities that you sat next to on an airplane. We've got an unbelievable lineup on the phones that we'll go to in a moment. But first, Dave, let's hear your story.
Well, I was on a flight to Oakland. I was going to see my favorite band, Rage Against the Machine.
Woo!
And the band themselves were actually on the flight. And I was the very last person boarding the plane, and there was two seats available, one next to an old lady and one next to Tom Morello. I sat next to the old lady.
Not Tom Morello?
Not Tom Morello. Nope.
Now, help me understand this, because you know Tom Morello. He's been a guest on this program many times, so it seems like it would not be uncomfortable or awkward for you to have a conversation with him.
I just didn't want to be that guy who's sitting next to...
Tom Morello?
Tom Morello. No, you know, like...
Someone had to sit next to him?
No one sat next to him, since I was the last person on the plane. But I didn't want to be there talking him up, and I know he had a show that night, and it was still weird, like... I don't know. And then plus I was starstruck a little bit, so.
But you know him.
Well, I didn't know him back then. You know, this was like maybe 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago.
Still, you could have sat down and not been a nuisance and maybe just said hello and just read your magazine or whatever, and you would have just been in the presence of greatness.
Yeah, but no, I decided.
Yeah, but no. Good point.
Yeah, I could have done that, but I decided the other way and leave him alone, let him enjoy his flight.
Well, you made a bad choice.
And watched him rock out that night. Yeah.
You made a terrible choice.
That's a failure on an epic level.
Why? Let the man be. But now we're cool. Now we boys.
Oh, yeah? Not boys.
All right. Let's go to, we got some.
Leave me be. Why don't you not sit next to me in the studio to make that choice? Wow. Isn't there an old lady you can go sit next to somewhere else in this building?
Yeah, she's to your left, Dave.
Bean is mean.
Pacoima, please. Give me some Chuck. He's on line 5 talking about the celebrities you sat next to on an airplane. When you get on a plane and this person is sitting next to you guys, are you happy about it or not? Chuck, who was it?
Hey, what's up, man? I was sitting next to, and again, it was Southwest, and he was riding by himself, Coach. It was Gene Simmons.
Oh, Gene Simmons.
My buddy Mike called him Gene Simmons.
Okay, but, I see what you did there.
Yeah. He the whole time I sat next to him, he kept staring at the girl I was with, and just kept staring at her and staring at her. She's like, this guy keeps staring at me. I'm like, oh, that's Gene Simmons. And she's like... You know, well, we got off the plane. We were going to Las Vegas. When we got off the plane, he approached us to tell me that I had the hottest girl in the airport. At that point, she was creeped out, and we walked away.
That sounds like the quintessential Gene Simmons experience, doesn't it? It sounds about right. Okay, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Yes.
I thought someone else might add. Let's go to Nicole, Garden Grove, please, line 4. Now, while we're talking about being starstruck, what do you do when you're sitting next to Nicole's seatmate? Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Well, I was on a flight back from Europe on a family trip with my mom and my dad. And, you know, halfway through the flight, we didn't actually notice until it was David Bowie sitting next to us.
Okay.
Hold on. You didn't notice until halfway through the flight?
Yeah, well, I fell asleep, so...
And he appeared? It's like a magic trick? You woke up and David Bowie was there?
Right.
Hello, Nicole, how are you?
And because he was wearing his glasses, and he was totally content to himself, just trying to keep to himself, but he was the sweetest person, and of course, my mom being, you know, the outgoing person that she is, just starts to strike up a conversation with him, and he was so nice. They were talking about... You know, just our experience in Europe, and he just seemed like the nicest person. It was just a couple years ago, so it was kind of
wow. Crazy. That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And your mom did not embarrass you by some of the conversations she had with David Bowie, I hope.
No, he was so sweet, and he was so nice. And we, you know, he and I actually had spoken too, and he just asked me about my experience, and he was a great guy.
That is something else. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we got time for a couple more.
A great memory to have after Bowie's passing to be able to remember that.
No kidding. Let's try Rob in Rancho Cucamonga. Let's get into a different level of celebrity and find out how it went. Rob, welcome to the show. Who'd you sit next to?
I sat to the next to the great Joe Pesci. My wife and I were on a flight from L.A. to New York for my brother's graduation, and he was awesome.
Funny how, Rob? How am I funny to you?
You know what I have learned not to say to Joe Pesci?
What?
Go get your
shine box.
Shine box. Yeah.
He's heard it.
He's heard it, and he doesn't find it amusing.
Yeah. Is the tendency in a situation like this to want to talk to him about Goodfellas? I mean, is that what Joe Pesci's life is like? Is everywhere he goes, somebody's going to bring that up, do you think?
I don't know. I would imagine, because my wife actually was giggling because she was so excited about it. And he started, are you laughing at me? Am I funny? Do I amuse you? He started that.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
The stewardesses were just cracking up. But the better part of the story is back then we didn't have phones for selfies or anything. It was almost 15 years ago. And I told my brother about it when we got off the plane. He didn't believe us. He's like, yeah, right, whatever. About 3 days later, my father and I and my brother went to get a drink. We were waiting to do something with the family. We ended up at a place called the Wheelbarrow, and he was there, and he recognized me. So it was really, really cool. We got to take pictures, and we have pictures of Joe Pesci having a white Russian. So it was pretty cool.
So now you're best friends with Joe Pesci. Great story. Thank you for the call. All right, two more real fast. Let's go Eddie Covina, line two, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Eddie?
Eddie, who'd you sit next to?
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Oh.
And how'd that go?
Flight to Vegas. You know what? all I could do is just kind of look at it. He was in, like, nasty sweats and, like, a 80s tie-dye, like, wife beater. Mm. And all I could do is just, I kind of look at him, I give him a fist bump and was like, you do good work. It was kind of awkward. It was almost like sitting next to Beam.
How map dare you? But I mean, you're sitting there looking at this old man and you're thinking, he has sex with more girls in a week than I have in a year or in 10 years.
It doesn't matter if the guy's swinging a forearm or not. He's still gross. He was just, like, greasy and just,
Well, you don't make it sound sexy at all, but thank you, Eddie. I appreciate you listening. All right, one more, and I apologize to those we didn't have time for, but let's make it Robert in Huntington Beach. He's on line 7. Allie, this one's for you.
Hello.
Hello, Robert. Who'd you sit next to?
Conan O'Brien.
Oh, my God.
That's Allie's dream seatmate.
Was he so nice? Did he smell like butterflies and unicorns?
That and more, yes.
You have a conversation with Mr. O'Brien?
Yeah, a little bit. He was on my flight from LAX to Heathrow, and then he sat next to me from Heathrow to Charles de Gaulle in Paris.
Wow.
And I talked to him, and he was with his family, so I didn't want to say too much to him, but he was super nice. He took a picture with me, and the very next day, I went to the Louvre, and as I was leaving, he was entering, and he waved at me.
Oh, my God, you're best friends with Conan.
So, Allie, so what about your policy to never speak to Conan O'Brien because you'll die? What if
Allie
would
have jumped out of the plane with a parachute?
I probably would have asked to have my seat moved. I would be shaking the whole
flight. Too much, right?
Yeah, too much.
That's great.
So lucky, Robert.
That's an awesome story, Robert. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. That was a lot of fun. All right. We got to clear the lines right now because we want to give away some more tickets for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
This is going to be coming up on Wednesday, August 31st, which is only a couple weeks away at the Red Bull Sound Space. And we determined that that holds what? Like a couple hundred people?
Yeah. Tops, yeah.
So Sting's going to be in there. We're going to interview him. You're going to help. He's going to be performing live solo songs, police songs, and he's going to be world premiering for the first time anywhere a brand new song that we will hear for the first time being sung live in person by the artist who wrote it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to go, we're looking for Sting fans at 1-800-520-1067. I shouldn't give it away, Ralph, but a big celebrity is out in the hall who's going to help us give these tickets away.
Well, it's a semi-regular on the show. We haven't seen him for a while, but we're very excited, and he's in the hall eating corn. That's all I'll tell you right now.
Say no more.
He's eating corn.
So if you're a Sting fan and you want to win tickets to join us for our Breakfast with Sting, call now 1-800-520-1067.
He just opened the door.
We'll play the game next on K-Rock. Whoa. Clucky. Clucky. How you doing, buddy? Get up to the microphone, Clock. How are you?
Hey,
haven't seen you in a long time. You been okay? Well, and to you as well. I hope your family's okay. Oh, that's great. We'll give him my best. Hey, listen. Breakfast with Sting is coming up, Clucky. Right?
He loves Sting. We were talking in the hallway.
I didn't realize that. August the 31st here at K-Rock at the Red Bull Sound Space. You are going to be able to watch it live. It's going to be 8 o'clock on that morning. But wouldn't it be so much better to be there in person? Hey, Clucky, maybe you should come to the event. You should come to Breakfast with Sting. So we'll give away some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's time to play Clucking the Hits.
Now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's pet chicken, Clucky, the most talented chicken in the world, the only chicken that can sing
Sting
songs for you. If you can identify the song, you just may win those tickets. Take it away, Clucky!
All right, so Clucky, you're a big Sting fan, and you're going to be doing your versions of Sting songs, solo Sting and Police songs. All the listener has to do is identify the song by title, and they are in. They'll be joining us for the breakfast with, okay? All right. Let's meet our first contestant. This is going to be Tim. He's in Brea. He's up first on line one, wondering what the hell he's gotten himself into. Hey, Tim, you ready to play Clucking the Hits?
Ready? Yes.
All right. Good luck. Tell us what song Clucky is performing for us here. That's beautiful.
That was gorgeous.
What song is that, Tim?
Englishman in New York?
It sure is. Don't drink coffee, I take tea. Well done. You will be in the house on August 31st for Breakfast with Sting. Let's go to Steven up next. Whittier, line two, please. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. We're doing a show with a chicken. Couldn't be going any better. Okay. All right. Here's Clucky. What song is this? I'm concerned for an aneurysm at this point. What song, Steven?
It's going to be Roxanne.
Yeah, it sure is. Well done, sir. Worried about Clucky, man. Eyes were bulging.
Yeah.
Starting to lose feathers there, too. Let's go to Santa Monica. Say hi to Ann. Hey, Ann.
Hey, good morning.
You're about to win Sting tickets from a chicken. Good luck.
Thank you.
Sensitive side of Clucky. I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ann?
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally drawing a blank.
Okay. Take a guess if you don't know.
Fields of Gold.
That is correct.
Wow. And
it is
that was
Fields
it.
Of
that
Gold.
Was the
yes,
pull.
That was it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Clucky, can you believe it? All right, Ann, we will see you at Breakfast with Sting. Wow.
Seriously, wow. Though, Clucky's range is phenomenal. To go from Roxanne to that?
Yeah.
You're welcome, Clucky.
All right, let's try Palos Verdes and make it Jeff, please, line four. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
I don't want to say the pressure's on, but three for three so far. Here's your Clucky song.
All right. All right. Quack, 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 quack. Every breath you take.
Yes.
Every breath you take. Yeah. Four for four.
All right. Let's try. How about Dawn? Various. Line five. Hey, Dawn.
Hi.
You're a psychologist, it says here.
Yes.
What is wrong with people who would use a $1 billion radio station to have a chicken giving away Sting tickets? What's our problem?
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, Clucky, you can't say that. You can't say that on the air, Clucky.
So Dawn is also very concerned about our mental state. All right, good luck. I hope you win the tickets. We'd love to see you at Breakfast with Sting. Here's Cluck. Wow, big finish. What do you think they're done?
Oh my god, that was the worst one ever.
How dare you say something like that in front of Clutchy? What about his self-esteem?
What the fuck? Oh my god.
All right, why don't you take a guess? Maybe you'll be lucky too.
Okay, all right. I'll be watching you.
That's Every Breath You Take, and no, we did that one earlier.
Move it together.
Together.
Move it together.
It was We'll Be Together. I'm sorry. But thanks for playing anyway. Let's do one more. Let's make it Rebecca Buena Park, line 6. Hey, Rebecca.
Hello.
How have you been doing listening to Clucky on hold?
Very worried.
Very worried. Okay. All right. Cluck, good luck. Give it your best shot.
Thank you.
Bark, 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 bark.
All right, Clucky, we got it. Thank you, Clucky. How about that, Rebecca?
I have no idea.
Oh, are you kidding me?
That's all he wanted to cluck to you.
Rebecca, does this sound familiar?
Kinda. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. We're all sad and disappointed, but thank you for playing. We got more tickets for you tomorrow. This has been Cluckin' the Hits. Thanks, Clucky.
That was Cluckin' the Hits. We had a cluck of a good time. If you didn't, then cluck off.
All right, you guys, strap in. The 8 o'clock hour is going to be great. Petros Papadakis will join us. We'll do the Bachelor in Paradise report right at the top of the hour. And then the natural himself, the great Randy Couture, UFC legend. In the next room. He's going to be joining us at around 8:15. It's going to be fun, too. It's all coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I don't want your life.
What's happening?
Anyone? Anyone? Anyone recognize that famous line?
Varsity Blues?
Thank you, Chip. Someone's paying attention.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
Okay.
James Vanderbeek delivering the accent.
Sure.
Right.
There is a TV series in the works based on the 1999 classic cult film Varsity Blues. CMT is going to be airing it. They've already got Nashville.
Yeah.
They're putting together a whole slate of original programming.
Dig it.
Apparently the guy who wrote the original movie will be writing the series as well.
Hmm.
So you Varsity Blues fans are in luck. Both of you. You can have a good time watching that.
When are they going to make a TV series out of that great Billy Bob Thornton Friday Night Lights movie? That's the one that needs to be turned into a series.
Bean, I hate to tell you,
because there's so much drama in that small town Texas high school football. I just feel like I feel like they could have done that. Something with that
come and gone,
just ready to be exploited.
Already been done. All will be carved.
I just thought it.
Britney Spears will be performing at the 2016 MTV Video Music Awards, and by performing, I mean lip syncing, right? Mm-hmm. Let's be serious. She hasn't been on the show in more than 10 years.
Wow.
But she's going to be there to world premiere her new single, Make Me, live, that she does with rapper G-Eazy. He'll be there, too. So, Britney fans, take note.
Any word on the snake?
No word when the snake will make an appearance or not. It's August 28th from New York's Madison Square Garden, if you want to check that out. And speaking of rappers like G-Eazy, Young Thug is no more. The rapper Young Thug has released his third, and he says, final album as Young Thug. He is changing his rap name. He's no longer Young Thug. Young Thug is no more. From now on, he will only be known as Jeffrey.
Come on.
No.
Young Thug is no more. Long live Jeffrey.
Now, is it with the G or a J?
It's with a J. Jeffrey.
Okay.
It made sense when you told us Lil Bow Wow was dropping the little.
Right.
Okay? But Young Thug. Can't he just be Thug?
Come on.
No more Young Thug. Young Thug is no more. Now you call me Jeffrey. So.
Are you sure you read that right?
I'm 100%. Huh. His final Young Thug album, Slime Season 3, will be his final Young Thug album. Now, from now on, just please refer to him as Jeffrey.
Rap music. Thanks, Obama.
Right? Today's celebrity birthdays: Robert De Niro, 73. Sean Penn turns 56. Donnie Wahlberg, 47 years old today. And TV talk show host of Fashion Police and stuff like that over on E! Juliana Rancic is 42 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Be careful, Ralph. Clucky was just sitting in that chair a few minutes ago.
Explains
so watch your feet.
Explains this. I thought this was yogurt, but I guess it's not.
Hey, it's like, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. It's like a Christmas morning, and then you have all day Christmas, and then you go to bed. The next day you wake up, and it's Christmas all over again.
There are presents under the tree again.
All over again. That's what today is like, because yesterday we had the Bachelor in Paradise report at this time, and wouldn't you know it, there was another episode on last night, so it's time to do it again. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice, it's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on! Are so dumb. So Ralph and B, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill?
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, P, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Petros Papadakis.
Jam-packed hour, Ralph.
Indeed.
Good hour. Good hour of television.
It was. The beauty of Bachelor in Paradise, P, and I think you'll agree with me, is it takes the handcuffs off the producers so they no longer have to pretend that they're trying to have someone find true love. They can just try to foment as much drama and angst and upset as many people as possible during the
show. And they can make it dumb. The only thing is, handcuffs cannot be put on the one-arm girl. She will get away.
It's true. You just need the one cuff. To wit, they brought back Ashley I, the Kardashian wannabe. The Kardashian, as she is known. She just cries all the time, mostly over her unrequited love for Jared, who is on the show, and he has found Kayla, and they seem to be very happy. So naturally, the producers have to send in Ashley I to upset things. And even Chris Harrison here had to address the fact that she all the other two appearances she made in this franchise, endless, endless tears.
The crying.
Yeah.
How's that going?
My goal in the season is to only cry three times.
A day?
No. Three times.
Ever.
Total. I promise you, I'm going to be more mature this time.
She's going to be more mature this time, P.
I love that Chris is mocking her openly.
Yes, it was.
The sad part is she went into it saying that she's not going to cry.
Right.
And what unfolded was literally... It was like her worst nightmare.
She walks in. She finds her beloved Jared very much infatuated with Kayla. And how long do you think she was there before she started crying, P? Seriously.
I gave her about, I think it was 6 minutes.
About 6 minutes
of real time.
Yes.
It was 15 seconds of television time.
Yeah, but she probably got in, looked around, saw what was happening, and about 6 to 10 minutes in, started crying immediately. And she's got a date card, right? She has to take one of the fellows on a date. And her beloved Jared is not available. So she takes Daniel, our boy Daniel, the Canadian, who is now the best person on television, in my opinion.
Wow. He really turned around on him.
He's getting amazing.
He has a charm that is very mysterious.
Yeah. And here's the reason Ashley has to ask Daniel, because she's so upset with Kayla for being with Jared, because Kayla and her were friends outside of the Bachelor Paradise universe, apparently. And Kayla... allegedly promised her she would never end up with Jared.
Jared, listen to me.
Maybe you should.
Jared, there's no one here for me, and then just seeing someone, I can't do it both. I can't do both things.
But there are more guys coming.
No. I could be with somebody else, but I can't be with not someone else. I need to be with someone. I can't do it. I didn't think Kayla was going to ever get like this. She told me she would never, ever go out with you. Kayla ruined everything, and she's a backstabbing whore of a friend.
Whoa. Oh, boy.
She's a backstabbing whore of a friend.
Whoa.
This girl is the biggest lead balloon. She is the worst.
She is awful.
She could ruin a rock fight.
She's unbearable. So Daniel has to go out with her now. Our Canadian buddy Daniel has to go on a date with Ashley I, and he finds out another famous part of Ashley Eye's persona is that she's a virgin. She's a 28-year-old virgin.
Oh.
And
I wonder why.
I can't imagine. Oh. Daniel's intrigued by that, oddly.
The fact that she's a virgin is kind of a big turn-on. It makes me feel like maybe I'm the right guy, and that I can deflower this American beauty. Oh, does she want Canadian sex? Does she want some Canadian bacon? Maple syrup drizzled on it?
No.
Maybe some Canadian sausage and bacon.
Yeah, we,
maybe she wants...
Get it.
Some Canadian poutine.
Okay. Now you're off the mark.
I might get frisky here pretty quick.
Yeah.
Real frisky.
Yeah.
Wait, and he's your favorite, Ralph?
He's the best.
You like him now, that guy?
He's the best.
He named everything but Molson.
No. He really was getting off the mark. Like, poutine is French fries with, like, cheese curds
Great
on it.
Stuff,
yeah, I don't think you want to make that your sex. Really.
Did you pick up that Canadian sausage exists, because I only had heard of Canadian bacon.
Different.
He was reaching. He was stretching.
All right.
And then Evan, weak-ass, Weasley, weird little Evan, has to be sent to the hospital by the medical staff because of his swollen ankles.
Is he pregnant? What?
I think he's retaining water because it's that time of the month for Evan. And he sees it as an opportunity for a date. Because he asks Carly, his beloved Carly, to accompany him to the hospital.
Because who doesn't want to go to a Mexican hospital?
Well, I've heard, as of last night, they do have air conditioning there, so that might be one reason to jump at that opportunity. Here's Evan with his evil plan. If he has to go to the hospital, he's going to take Carly with him.
It's like, hang on a second. This is the perfect date opportunity. I could grab Carly on the way out, and we get a free pass. Carly may be the only medicine that I need.
Carly may be the only medicine I need.
Wow.
And it works.
And it works, by the way, people. Carly, seeing him lying in bed with his IV, looking all vulnerable and helpless, says, you know what? And I'm starting to have feelings for this guy.
How about that?
Got a little, inexplicably.
Little
they did. They gazed at each other past the IV tree.
Let's check in on Ashley again and see if she's still crying. Shall we do that real quick? They had 1 8-minute montage of her just crying.
I need to get a job as a musical score guy for that show. That's amazing.
I think they already have it. I actually asked somebody because I was interested, and they have it already all logged. They have something for every stupid emotional situation because the show's been on for so long.
Wow.
That they have not hired a musician in like 10 years.
So they have a library of emotional music?
Exactly. And the musicians are livid. They're so pissed.
That's awesome.
But the best part about the crying montage, Ralph, was the fact that it was like one of those weird beaded hippie doors, you know?
Yes.
And Kayla's, the girl that's stolen Jared away, she never even stole him, is just standing literally 5 feet away from this woman crying for hours.
Yeah, she's on the other side of the beaded doorway, just sort of listening to Ashley wail and moan and gnash her teeth over her lost Jared.
Yeah, those aren't soundproof doors.
No, they're not. And Nick and Jen, we had Nick and Jen last night. Nick may be finding someone he can hang out with. And I don't know how you feel, Pete, but I think Jen's like one of the hottest girls who hit the beach this season.
I thought she had a face that could cut a turkey.
What? What does that mean?
Sharp
I don't
features.
Like a sharp-faced woman.
Sharp features.
I like a rounded features.
I see. Well, her body's rounded.
A woman's head cannot be fat or round enough for me.
Okay.
Wow. You should
marry. I want it to look like a beach ball.
You should date Samoans.
Yeah, I love them.
Pete, thanks for joining us for this week's update. We'll see you next week, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Mark this one down as another red letter day here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Anytime a legend stops by, he is a 6-time UFC champion and, of course, International Sports Hall of Famer, best-selling author and actor. It's a pleasure to welcome back the natural himself, the great Randy Couture, joins us here on K-Rock. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how are you?
You said something right as that song was running out. We had to quick turn the mics on. You saw that El Cajon Pass fire firsthand, what, yesterday?
Yeah, I felt like I was driving into the apocalypse last night to get out here from Vegas, and it was pretty remarkable.
some of this footage that I'm seeing on television, I mean, it was so bad and so hot yesterday that planes had to turn around. The planes that they sent out to drop water apparently couldn't get anywhere near the fire. I mean, it was that bad. It's insane what's happening in our state.
It was like a fire tornado. I felt like I was watching an episode of Sharknado or something. It was weird.
Wow. Well, it's great to see you. I know you're here for a very important cause because you've got a big event. You're working with Bellator now, and Bellator 160 is coming up not this Friday but next at the Honda Center in Anaheim. This is a huge event. Tell us a little bit about it, and I got a bunch of questions for you, Randy.
Well, Benson Henderson is on the main card. He's coming down to his original weight class where he was a champ for a while at 155, and he's fighting Patricio Pitbull. Who's moving up from 145 to fight at his brother's weight class. His brother obviously just lost to Michael Chandler in the title fight. And there's, you know, there's been a little brouhaha going on in that weight class. So Michael just beat his brother. He wants to come up and get a shot at the title to kind of avenge his brother's loss. And he's got to get through Benson Henderson to do that. No small feat.
That's the top of the card for Bellator 160. Tickets are on sale now through Bellator.com, starting at just $22, by the way. And you are doing a tailgate party featuring some real legends of the sport, including you, right?
You know, Bellator's been bringing together a lot of you know, guys like Royce Gracie and so on and so forth to kind of be brand ambassadors and come meet and greet with the fans and hang out with the fans. It's been a lot of fun. I've been doing that for about a year now. It's been a blast.
So you, Royce Gracie, Tito Ortiz, Michael Chandler, Phil Davis. That's a great lineup for a meet and greet right
there.
Pretty
good list, yeah. Pretty good list of guys.
Now, when Allie heard you were coming in, she was hoping you were going to fight again. And I know you get asked that question all the time. But how many years do you have to be retired before people start, you know, stop expecting you to fight again?
I'm going to be 75 and they're still going to be wondering. Are you going to come back out? You look like you could still fight.
Reddy, I think the problem is you're still in such great shape. I think you need to let yourself go. If you start blobbing out, people will go,
some bonbons.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, do it for us.
He's done. How did you end up with Bellator, by the way? How did that even come to pass?
Well, you know, my son started fighting for Bellator, and I've gotten to know Scott Coker over the years back with Strikeforce. I used to train and corner Gina Carano when she was the first lady of MMA, and got to know Scott back then. And Scott's just one of those guys, lifelong martial artist. You know, obviously they got bought out by Zuffa, and you know, he was part of that big machine for a while. And then once he was free and clear, he got picked up by Bellator to be the commander in chief, if you will, of Bellator. And I was around the same time that my son started fighting for Bellator, and Scott kind of had this vision to kind of bring in a lot of the legends of the sport, guys like Royce and Tito and so on and so forth, and myself to kind of help build the brand, represent the brand with Spike and Spike TV being the first ones to really be willing to put the sport on television when everybody else was pushing back. And I just think it's a pretty good fit. I'm having a blast being a brand ambassador on a per-event basis here and there and getting to hang out with guys like Royce and meet Sakuraba and so many of these guys that were fighting when I was fighting. And it's been fun.
How did you feel about your son wanting to follow in your footsteps in the MMA game?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those times. Probably looked at him like my mom looked at me when I said, yeah, Mom, I'm going to do this fighting thing. You know, I hired him to come down to the gym and help me run the gym in Vegas. And he's like, Dad, I kind of want to fight. I'm like, really? All right. Well, and you know what? I'm very proud of him. He demonstrates the passion and the diligence that you'd want to see from any athlete you were working with. He does a great job. He's a smart kid. He's gotten more heavily involved in kind of running the gym now in the last year or two. And that makes me happy as well. But I'm very proud of the way he competes and how he puts himself out there.
How much have you, in your mind, how different, how much tougher is it to fight today than back when you started, you know, as a wrestler and then, you know, starting with what, UFC 13? I think that was your first fight with the UFC, right?
That's right, UFC
13. Has it changed a lot? You know, you always hear about, you know, you look at, anytime you look at basketball video from the 70s, they seem so slow, for instance. Do you feel like that when you watch MMA fights now? Is like, wow, I'm glad I'm not fighting today.
Well, there's no, what there isn't anymore are mismatches. And I think back in the day, and I kind of came in on the cusp of this kind of what I call the second generation of fighters. There were mismatches back then. These guys that said they were this and that on paper, but when they actually got to fighting, they really probably had no business being in there. And you just don't see that anymore. These guys are all highly skilled, highly trained, tremendous athletes. The style matchups is what really makes it interesting. There's so many different ways to win or lose a fight. And
yeah. You
just don't see those glaring mismatches like there used to be.
And I guess the new generation of fighters, like your boy, grew up watching MMA. That was the difference. You couldn't grow up watching MMA because it didn't exist on TV.
Exactly. I call them the third generation of mixed martial artists. That first generation were guys that were all out to prove that their style was the best style. I kind of came in on the cusp of the second generation. We all had a specific background, but we realized we needed to cross-train and learn all this other stuff to go with our backgrounds to be well-rounded fighters. This third generation grew up watching us and saying, that's what I want to be.
Right.
And they're remarkable. They're amazing athletes.
Are you as impressed as I am by how much great young talent there is coming up? I mean, it just seems like there's an endless supply of guys who are way better than you would expect them to be as new fighters.
Yeah, it is remarkable. And it was like, well, who's this kid? Where's he from? It's like, I used to know everybody in this sport. And now I'm like looking guys up. I'm like, I don't know, where did he come from? Where's he train at? What did he do? It seems like 80% of the guys now I don't know. And they're amazing. They're great fighters.
Bellator 160, by the way, Henderson versus Pitbull is going to be next Friday at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Tickets are on sale now through Bellator.com. And then, of course, as we mentioned, the official tailgate party with a meet and greet with all the MMA stars and legends, including our guest Randy Couture, who's in studio with us. A quick break. More with The Natural right after this on K-Rock. MMA legend Randy Couture back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. The last time you were in, Randy, I think it was for Expendables 3. You came in with Kellen, if I recall correctly.
That's right. Yeah, I was trying to remember that myself.
That was a lot of fun. Now, is that version of the Expendables all done? Because now I'm starting to hear talk of a ladies' version that they're going to do.
I don't know anything about that. I am hearing that we're going to do an Expendables 4.
Oh, no kidding. That's great.
It sounds like that may be kicking off here in March of next year, first shooting. So I'm excited to see a script. I know they've been fashioning a script. And obviously can't wait to read it, find out if Toll Road dies or not. And the script usually tells a tale. Who are they adding? Who's going to play that character? What characters are they bringing back? How are they doing it? So I'm anxiously awaiting a script.
What is your dream role? If you could do anything.
I've been a huge fan of Westerns since
really?
I was a kid. I love all the spaghetti Westerns. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Clint Eastwood fan. Mm-hmm. They're coming out with The Magnificent Seven.
Right. That's right, yeah.
Kind of a bunch of reboots of some of the old Westerns. I think being involved in a Western would be a lot of fun.
Can you ride a horse?
I can, actually.
Well.
I owned a couple horses in Oregon before I moved to Vegas.
And you're good with a rifle.
I can shoot. I
Excellent.
Was in the Army 6 years. Yeah. They kind of taught me that.
Yeah.
All right.
You think?
I'll help. was acting an early passion of yours along with fighting, or is it something that you, once you retired, you said, well, what now?
Well, like fighting is something that just kind of happened. I was never a fighter. You know, I've been wrestling since I was 10, but fighting kind of became an extension of wrestling. Athletics opened the door for acting. They said, hey, we're looking for fighters for this underground fight scene in Cradle to the Grave. Me, Tito, Chuck all got the call. Mm-hmm. Hey, come play a fighter. I'm like, okay, that's a stretch.
Right.
cage fighter, all right. But it was interesting to see kind of behind the curtain, to go to Oz and pull back the curtain and see how they make a movie and all the stuff that's involved. And I was immediately intrigued and got a chance to – I went out, got an acting coach, started taking some classes, got an agent, started getting some better jobs and trying to learn more about the craft. And that was 15 years ago. So,
sounds like it's a real passion for you now.
Now I'm fortunate that I have – another purpose. I've retired from fighting, from being a professional athlete, and my purpose has become to try and find better acting jobs and learn more about and develop more skills as an actor.
This is the voice of Randy Couture here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We talked about Bellator 160, which is coming up a week from Friday at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Tickets are on sale now through Bellator.com to see a great lineup of fights. You have no relationship with the UFC anymore, Randy?
Other than any of my fighters that train at Extreme Couture, I don't really tune in. Dana has decided that I'm persona non grata, and And, you know, obviously he's the president of the company. So,
but this is confusing to me because it's not like a, you know, Barry Bonds dope situation or a Pete Rose gambling situation. I mean, are you exiled just for having an opinion about how they run their company?
Basically, yes. And then he basically tried to make me out to be the bad guy. I signed a TV contract with Spike TV to do scripted and unscripted television. The first show they asked me to do was to be a coach on a show in a similar vein to The Ultimate Fighter, called Fight Master. And, because it was training fighters that would eventually fight in Bellator, he called me the enemy and the traitor and exiled me basically. And it's been that way ever since.
But doesn't it seem like that's the type of thing? I mean, you guys are both smart guys and you both would benefit each other to work together on some things. It just seems like that's the type of thing that could be worked out with a conversation if you got in the same room.
I tried actually to sit down with him when the contract and the offer was presented to me to let him know I was being made a significant offer. Obviously, I had to sign an NDA, so I couldn't tell him exactly what was going on, but I wanted to discuss options to stay with the company at that time. And you know, the sport leaks like a sieve. So he found out about what was going on before I had a chance to sit down with him and just kind of, in typical Dana fashion, went nuts and you know, went on the rampage. And
that sounds hurtful coming from Dana, a guy you worked with so long and so closely in a sport that you love and, you know, kind of helped build up
to elevated,
what it was. Yeah, what it became. I mean, that must be painful for you, Randy.
You know, it was certainly an issue and I think ultimately affected my son as at that time he was with Strikeforce with Scott Coker, and then Scott and Strikeforce got bought out by Zuffa, so they absorbed my son, and my son had to kind of deal with the repercussions of the falling out with Dana, which was a problem, you know, problem for me and for him. So ultimately the issues are his, to be honest. I'm doing the best things I can for my career and for my family and for everybody involved for me, and his issues are with me. So that's
understood. You get asked all the time, particularly in your capacity with Bellator, by these young fighters for advice. What do you tell them? And can you tell early on whether somebody's got that extra something that is going to make them be successful in such a competitive, difficult job?
I think it's, you have to have that total package. You've got to be a student of the sport. It's not enough just to be physically talented. At some point, you're going to be dealing with the top 5% in your sport that everybody's talented. So how are you going to distinguish yourself from every other talented guy that wants to be the champ, wants to wear that belt? And that comes down to diligence, being, you know, applying yourself, having an open mind, being coachable. There's a lot of variables. We're all individual athletes physically and mentally, psychologically. So doing those other things that are going to distinguish you, putting as much as it's an individual sport, it's a team sport too. You're only as good as the guys you're training with, as the team you put together to help you sharpen you, make you better each and every time you step out there.
Did you ever find, was it tough because you have to have that switch that turns on when you get into the octagon, that killer instinct? Is it tough to turn that off and live a regular domestic stress-free life?
I don't think so. I think, at least in my experience, once you've kind of experienced those four steps up into the cage, everything else is downhill from there. There's nothing, you're not going to get too excited or too riled up or you know, put yourself in a situation that's much more intense than that.
And like, you can handle L.A. traffic once you handled a guy hitting you in the face repeatedly.
Yeah, probably not
going to
lose it on the freeway anytime soon after dodging, you know, being punched and kicked in the face in a cage. So
yeah. Yeah, I really do think, you know, we all admire their techniques and their, as a physical specimen, how strong they are and how fast they are. But the mind part is the part that's so fascinating to me. And I guess you're right. That's that extra something that separates the champions from the rest of the
game. Yeah, I think that's where you see guys come unraveled, guys that can't deal with the adversity of competition. And that's a psychological thing.
Do you think having a military background helped you with that?
I think it wired me a particular way for sure, and I've said that before. You know, I was in the Army for 6 years from the age of 19 to 25. I think there's a particular attention to detail and a way you are kind of trained to look at the world.
Yeah, always expecting.
Yeah, and I was I think, skewed that way a little bit anyway. Mm-hmm. I was one of those kids where your buddies came over and dropped their bags on your floor. And I'm going to say, dude, that doesn't go there. What's the matter with you?
God bless you. Yes.
So the military and that kind of lifestyle fit me anyway. And kind of took that up to another level. Mm-hmm. Not to, you know, the point of being weird about it, but definitely suited me.
Yeah.
And
when you make the bed in the morning, Randy, can you still bounce a quarter off of it?
I certainly remember how to do that, yes. I'm a little busier than that now, so the hospital corners aren't coming.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Bellator.com to buy your tickets for Bellator 160. It's Friday, August 25th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We talked about that main event with Benson Henderson and Patricio Pitbull Freire, and that's the main event. But we didn't mention the debut of Kimbo Slice's son is also going to be that night on the fight. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting. I haven't got a chance to rub elbows with him yet. And obviously Kimbo trained with us for a little while, Extreme Couture, for a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this image of this guy that's going to come into your gym and there's going to be an entourage and all these things that go on. And he was the exact opposite of that. He was very respectful, very diligent, asked a lot of questions, was always the last guy off the mat at practice. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of things that I didn't expect him to do in that regard when you see the kind of persona that he had kind of built and put out there. And so I'm very kind of intrigued and interested to see what his son's approach is, what his son's personality is like, and obviously how he's going to perform, how he's going
to certainly
live
a tribute
up to the legacy.
Yeah, it's a tribute to Kimbo, just like it's a tribute to you that your son wanted to follow in your footsteps. I mean, anyone who wants to be like their dad, that means you did something right, Randy. You know?
Well, I appreciate that.
You think Baby Slice is a terrifying enough nickname for him? I worry that people won't take that seriously.
I think that works. I kind of like that, you know.
Catch him off guard.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Misdirection.
Yeah.
All right, buy the tickets at Bellator.com, and don't forget, at 3 o'clock that same day on the 26th is the official tailgate party with a meet and greet with lots of MMA stars and legends, including Royce, including Tito, including Michael Chandler, Phil Davis, Michael Page, and, of course, the great Randy Couture. Always fun to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
You bet. Thank you.
You are listening to Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. We're the guys giving you your choice of either Coldplay at the Rose Bowl or Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium. It's K-Rock Pick a Ticket all week long. Get more information at KROQ.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on in the world of showbiz?
Remember where you were 20 years ago today?
20 years ago today, I was having a burrito at Disneyland, and let me tell you, I've had a lot of burritos. This one, though, was maybe the best burrito I've ever had in my life. Is that what you're referring to?
I'd like to feed you a nitroglycerin burrito.
Oh. Would that kill him?
20 years ago today.
Blow his head clean
1996,
off.
August 17th. Got nothing.
Got nothing? It was on this day 20 years ago that this single was number one. Yeah. Right?
How about that?
The Macarena!
That was a dark days in American history.
Dark days! That was magical. Remember?
I believe we've heard enough.
We're all doing this?
I think we got the gist.
Come on, let's all do the Macarena.
We've got a minute left.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yep.
Okay. All right. We've heard it. Point made.
Everybody do it.
Wow, Ralph still knows the hand signal.
Why'd you turn? No.
Come on.
You still got moved, no. Ralph.
Macarena.
That was a thing.
God, that was a thing.
Was that number one, like, everywhere in the
14
world?
14 weeks it stayed on the number one on the
You're
charts.
You're kidding.
For 14 weeks. Unbelievable.
Well, thanks for putting that in our head.
Yeah, that'll be stuck there all day. I just couldn't believe it. You remember where you were when that came out?
I don't.
I'm trying to think. I believe, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, geez.
I was bartending at a Latin salsa dance club in Glendale, California when
that
song
came out. You could not escape that song.
No, it was every night, every...
Multiple times.
Multiple times. It was nuts. It was a bad time. It was just a perfect storm to be bartending at a salsa club when that song broke.
Sure.
It was a living hell.
Hey, just as a P.S., 25 years ago today, Ralph.
Oh, you always got to one-up me.
I'm not
going to
one-up
you. All right, here we go.
While we're reminiscing, while we're anniversary talking.
Here's the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald remix.
No, 25 years ago today was the day they filmed one of the most popular groundbreaking videos of all time. Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit was filmed on this date 25 years ago.
What do you got, Allie? What happened on this day in your life? Anything?
I lost my virginity.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Mamma mia. Yeah.
This day, last year. Movie news. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly together again. Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
I think everyone.
That's
all
what
in.
I'm saying.
All in.
Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. Step Brothers still, to me, pound for pound, one of the funniest films I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
They are getting together to do a take on the Sherlock Holmes Dr. Watson relationship. Holmes and Watson is the name of it. They'll be taking off on Arthur Conan Doyle's detective pair with a unique twist, as you can imagine. So, pretty soon. It's got to be Ferrell as Holmes and John C. Reilly as Watson, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want to see anybody but Basil Rathbone in that role, and I think you're with me.
Sweet Jesus. He played Sherlock Holmes, what, in the 40s?
I think so. Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you? Thank you, Jim. Wash that out of my head. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Robert De Niro is 73 years old today. Sean Penn turns 56. Donnie Wahlberg, formerly of New Kids on the Block, as Allie is quick to remind us this morning. But most people know him as one of the stars of Blue Bloods. 47 years old.
And he married badly. We know that about him.
He did marry badly. Oh, that voice. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And Juliana Rancic from E! She used to be on Fashion Police, but then they ran her off because she said that somebody looked like they smelled like marijuana or something.
Zendaya.
Yeah, it was Zendaya. Yeah.
Zendaya had dreadlocks, and she made some sort of racist comment or something.
In her defense, there are no dreadlocks on her home planet, so she didn't know what she was looking at.
She was confused. She hadn't uploaded that part of the database since her landing.
You guys are horrible.
Come on, she is a bobblehead. She's like a weird lollipop creature. Just a stick with a head and those giant almond eyes. It's terrifying.
It is.
This makes you think anal probe anytime you see her. In a bad way.
Oh.
She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We are going to open up the phone lines right now. When we have time, we'd like to include your phone calls on any topic. We call it What's Good. And you just call us, 1-800-520-1067. Something you want to alert us to, something you want to ask us about. You got questions. You got problems. You have an anniversary of something that happened on this
day. Hey, Macarena.
You got Macarena stories, you got Olympic stories, whatever you want to talk about, it's all you. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good? Coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Oh, this is going to be fun. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin Beans, What's Good? Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Ralph was dancing the Macarena moments ago to celebrate that song's 20th anniversary, and I think I saw a little Cabbage Patch there during the What's Good intro.
Do a little New Kids.
Yeah, right? He's feeling it.
He's bringing all the moves today. Yeah. All right, we got a particularly interesting batch, and I want to start with Joshua O. He's the first of two Joshuas we'll get to. He's on line one, and he's in L.A., and he's up first on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Josh, what's good?
Good morning, Mr. Baxter. Oh, my God, I'm so happy you took my call this morning, sir.
Oh, Lord. Oh, come on, Bean. Give Joshua O a chance.
All right. Dial it back just a tiny bit.
No, then, you keep that enthusiasm, Josh O.
Tell us why you're calling.
My name is Blowout. I'm trying to be a professional wrestler. I like to do Ultimate Warrior impressions. He's my favorite. And I've been leaving a lot of answer machine messages on the Ask Line.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you guys happen to have a chance to listen to any of them.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little behind the curtain here at the Kevin Bean Show, is that Omar screens the calls. So we don't hear them all, but he sends along the ones that he thinks we might want to play on the radio. So it doesn't sound like technically any of yours have made it through to us yet.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll just give you guys some time. I'm a veteran, and I was in the military, so...
Oh, that kind of veteran.
Yes, yeah, so from the Army, sir.
Okay. All right. Look, we don't have a lot of time because we got a bunch of calls. What's your best impression, Joshua?
Well, the best impression that Fallout does is to tell The Rock he's got to watch his beady little eyes and stop picking up his goofy eyeball and spitting nursery rhymes about your Boney Avenue and know your little boulevard. Austin said he's going to...
Josh, we got another call. We got to move on. Listen, thank you for your military service, but for nothing else.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're the worst person in the world.
Let's try PETA, North Hollywood, please, line 6 up next. She apparently is a scientist, you guys.
Oh, cool.
So she's smarter than we are. PETA, what's up?
What's up?
Geologist. Hi,
a geologist is a scientist. Wouldn't that be the same thing, PETA?
True. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
So I'd like to speak of the possible existence of dragons in time, historically.
What's going on today? What's happening here? Possible existence of dragons in time.
Possibly.
So I've argued this with...
Go.
I've argued this with my friends, both sober and drunk. Uh-huh. And we have evidence of dinosaurs all over the world and ancient drawings of dragons all over the world.
Right.
Uh-huh.
This is before you could just fly to another continent and say, like, hey, I saw a dragon.
Right.
So we have different continents all over the world that believe there were dragons.
Okay.
And then we have evidence of dinosaurs. So who's to say, you know, we don't even know what dinosaurs sounded like. Who's to say they couldn't breathe fire or that their, you know, wings don't preserve well or cartilage. So
Look. You know more about this topic than I do.
No, she doesn't. Turns out.
Okay. All right. It sounds like you're a huge Game of Thrones fan who really wants it to be real.
I am not at all. I saw The Red Wedding and stopped watching it.
Yeah. Okay. So you just think that there might have been some dinosaur-like creature that would be more like what we popularly think of as a dragon today, and you're wondering if it's possible. I guess it's possible. I don't think anything could breathe fire. I don't think anything could survive that.
How do you know that, Bean? You don't even know what they sounded like.
Right. I'm not sure that's relevant, but I don't think an animal can breathe fire and breathe air after that. I think it would kill them, I think.
Maybe it was just a really hot breath.
Right, Bean.
Okay,
it was just really hot breath.
You are a scientist. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that so much.
Geologist.
What's happening here?
Which is an earth science.
We should have
asked
her if she does any impressions.
All right. Let's try Robert in L.A. It seems like he's calling to say something nice, but that can't be right.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's good, Robert?
What's good?
First of all, longtime fan. Been listening since I was a kid in the 90s, so this is great to get to finally talk to you guys. But Ralph has been one-upping himself week after week in making me laugh, and I had to just call in and give props.
Where is this? Where is this happening that Ralph's making people laugh?
Right. 3 weeks ago when he called in and interrupted you saying, oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt your talking with comedy? I was dying. I was fortunately pulled over so I didn't, like, you know, swerve or anything. Then he topped that off with the following week with the you be the judge malfunction happening. That was ridiculous.
All right.
On the microphone. And then yesterday, thank God I had parked the car when you guys decided to start playing all those ridiculous recordings of all the grunts and the moans and the sound effects and everything at the showbiz beat.
Well, you're very nice and you're very kind to call just to say that you're enjoying the show. That's very kind of you.
Sir. I've loved the show for years. So just, yeah, it's been great fun to get through to you guys and say you guys
all right.
I feel like Ralph needs to be less funny when you're driving, though. This is concerning.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because it's a danger now.
Okay. All right.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm going to start getting very serious.
Before you go, though, Robert, dragons are real or not real?
Absolutely not real.
Not real. Mm. Okay. Thank you for the call, sir. We really appreciate you listening for so long. Let's go to Dee Dee, Los Angeles, please. She's up next, line 2 on the Kevin Bean Show. Dee Dee, thank you for calling. What's good?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Dee Dee? What's good?
I just wanted to call and tell you I've been listening to you guys for years, and I've been listening to Bean talk about Weird Al for forever. So when he came to play the bowl, I had to go see him. It was a religious experience. It was one of the most amazing shows I've ever been to in my entire life. I turned into a 10-year-old kid.
Okay, I'm glad that you're saying this, Dee Dee, because nobody listens to me when I say it. But Weird Al, no matter what you think of, about how the show is going to be, will exceed your expectations tenfold when you go. He's that good.
Yes. I was just like, I've been telling everybody. I was like, go see Weird Al. Find out where he's playing. Go see him.
We all love Weird Al on the show, Dee Dee. But would you say, even after having seen his great live show, would you say he's the best person in the world?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's the best person.
Oh, my Lord.
Dee Dee.
Well, everybody's the best person.
Well,
in the
you
world.
Had me right up until then, Dee Dee. I thought we were friends, but apparently
not. Hop on a dragon and go do a rock impression, why don't you?
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. Let's make it Sam. He's in Huntington Beach. I know we're going to regret bringing this up again, but he's calling about The Secret, you guys.
Because we don't have enough crazy in this segment, right?
Because this is the laws of attraction where you wish it and you will it. You make it happen with your brain. Sam, did that happen to you?
Yes, I was trying to get through. I quit calling, and then I called again, and I got through.
Oh,
yeah,
it's The Secret.
Right, no. We heard that caller. You had something better, though, I hear.
So I listen to your guys' show. And I constantly am searching for comic book gold at thrift stores or estate sales. And I kind of gave up, but I started using your secret and thinking about it. And literally an hour after your show was over, my buddy called me. And he says, I know you're into comic books. I'm at a thrift store. They have 9 untouched long boxes that were just donated for $99. And we went and got it, and there's comic gold in there.
Really?
So for $99, I got close to 2,200 comic books and some key issues, and it works. So Bean is right. I hate to say it.
So, Ralph, what do you think about that? This guy is a comic book geek like you. Used right. The secret and had a
and
bounty.
He found comic books at a thrift store.
Yes.
That's unheard of.
It's not unheard of, but he had been wishing and wanting it for so long, and then it just happened right after he put his mind to it.
Or it's a coincidence.
I was skeptical. But,
really?
It was because I thought it was a bunch of junk, but apparently there was some VA in Sacramento that dropped off a bunch of comic books, and these things have been untouched. And
that's fantastic.
Telling me stuff that was in it, and I was pretty stoked.
All right,
that's fantastic. And when I marry Jennifer Lawrence, we'll know for sure that the secret is working, right? We're all going to hope
for
that.
Not for her. It won't be working. No.
All right, Sam. Good luck to you, my
Thank
friend.
You guys. You're
Thank
awesome.
You for calling. This has been What's Good. What's good?
It looks like you might be one of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's your final look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. Here's Ralph Garman.
It's the greatest day ever of life.
Wow. Is this breaking
news?
Again,
we have breaking news this morning. Ava Mekarin update.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
This is a breaking news bulletin.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
This is a breaking news bulletin. Just announced from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment and DC Entertainment, we finally have seen the trailer for the new Batman film starring Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah! Wait, hold on, what?
You heard me.
That was from 40 years
you
ago.
You heard me, Jive
50
Turkey.
50 years ago. That was 50 years ago
you
that movie came
me,
out.
You heard me, sucker.
I don't understand. How is there a trailer for a movie that came out 50 years ago?
It didn't. It's coming out in October. On October 11th on digital HD and Blu-ray on November 1st. Hello?
Oh, so this is a home release of the original Batman movie.
Stop being wrong for a minute.
Is it not the home release of the original Batman
not.
Movie?
Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Uh-huh.
From Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. Brand new film. Digital HD, October 11th, Blu-ray, November 1st. It is an animated feature-length film.
Oh.
What does that sound
it's
mean?
Animated.
It's animated. First of all, I can't watch it because it's animated. But second of all, I thought you were talking about, you know, Adam West and Burt Ward being Batman and Robin.
I am. They are back as Batman and Robin.
They're dumb voices.
Oh, my God. I now finally will murder you. After all these years of holding myself back, I will now end it all with this sweet, sweet death of you.
Okay, so we're excited. It's an animated
film. Oh, dear Jesus. Please give me the strength to kill him slowly and painfully. Let not
mercy creep into my heart as I wring the life from his body?
I don't know. Ask Tori Spelling's mom.
I'm going to ask Tori Spelling's mom. Give me a little that trailer, Chip. That brand new trailer just dropped.
We're back this fall at an all-new feature-length animated movie, Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders.
Holy entree, Batman. What foes do we face?
Joker, Riddler, Penguin, and Catwoman. On Earth and in space.
Wow! With the voices of Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar?
True. And a good crime fighter always keeps his fans informed. Stay tuned, citizens. To the Batmobile.
On Earth and in space.
Wow.
Right?
That's going to be a lot.
Oh, it's the best thing ever.
Bean?
I mean, yeah. No, it's good.
Oh, man.
It's cranky.
You are cranky.
Not cranky at all. I'm saying it's good.
All day long, we've been celebrating the Macarena, you know, because it is the 20th anniversary of the Macarena. Give me a little Macarena, Chip. Best ever, right?
No.
20th anniversary of this day. Macarena reached number one on the chart. Stayed there for 14 weeks, and we all loved it. The kids loved it. The families loved it. The grandmas loved it. Everybody loved it. Well, imagine my surprise this morning when someone sent me the literal translation of the Spanish language lyrics. Yeah. It's not for families.
Really?
It's not for kids.
Really?
It's not for parties and gatherings. It's a story of Macarena.
Uh-huh.
A young lady whose boyfriend is going into the service.
Oh.
And he's being sworn in. And while he's being sworn into the army, she is having a three-way with his two best friends.
I'm sorry? Oh.
You heard me.
Nope. Are you kidding me?
You heard me.
Not.
That's what that means.
How did we not know this? No one's lying, Allie.
Come on.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Here's the literal translation from the original Spanish lyrics below, from the Los del Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Give your body joy, Macarena, because your body is meant to be given joy and good things. Give your body joy, Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Macarena has a boyfriend who is named with the last name Vitorino. And while he's being sworn in as a conscript, she's giving it to his two friends.
Not cool.
That is not cool, Macarena. But
giving what? Maybe...
giving it.
Oh.
Okay, I get why Whitey didn't care and didn't know and danced along. But you, for instance, were DJing in a salsa club where they clearly...
bartending in a salsa club.
Right, okay. So they would have understood the lyrics. Why were they down with that?
Maybe they thought it was hot that Macarena was cheating on her boyfriend with his two friends while he's being drafted in the army. It's fun for the whole family, right?
Hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, what a cool song.
Yes. So there you go. Here's your secret meaning behind Macarena.
Well,
now you know.
Now we all feel bad.
Sesame Street, didn't they do it on that show?
I remember all kinds of kids dancing to it and stuff and everything. What do we know?
I feel cheated.
It was the Devil's Threesome was going on.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I dig it. And James Corden, he's just the hottest thing going right now. He's got his celebrity rap battle show that's going to be taken off. And, of course, his very popular Late Late Show segment, Carpool Karaoke, is being turned into its own show as well. James Corden recently described how popular that segment is when he was home in London. He said, I was crossing the street in London a few weeks ago, and there were these four kids in a car. They were like 18, 19, and they sort of forced me to get in the car. Then they all took out their camera phones, and we were all just singing along to the radio. I was like, am I being kidnapped? He joked. But apparently they just wanted him to sit in the car and sing to the radio so they could have their own little Carpool Karaoke segment with James Corden.
I like it.
Allie, did you know that you could just pull up next to James Corden and force him into your car and make him sing with you?
I'm not going to lie. Every time I drive past on Beverly, the CBS studios, right? Yeah. I look around and I'm just like, is he anywhere near me?
Because they do seem just to like, circle the block.
Yes, they're just
when
in that area.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the... it started off as a rumor and now it's gaining steam as the James Corden show gets more and more popular that CBS ought to flip time slots with him and Stephen Colbert. Put Corden on early, Colbert on late.
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it either. Yeah. And you know who really wouldn't hate it? CBS.
Yeah, they could probably use the bump.
Yeah.
I mean, he's much more of a viral presence, and that seems to be how they judge late-night television now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, he got all the Emmy love, too, all the Emmy nominations. Like, Colbert got none.
Yeah.
Several for James Corden.
We talked to James just before he went on the air, I think.
Yeah,
on the show.
I think a week
but
before.
But we haven't spoke to him since.
Love to have him back on.
Let's have him back on.
CBS cares.
CBS does care. Not about radio, but they care about television. Well, that's what they care about.
They care
about.
A lot about TV.
Oh, a lot about television.
And by the way, while we're talking about TV, that Julie Chen is talented.
The best.
Isn't she great?
Who could be better?
How did she even get that job? Because we're lucky to have her.
Because she's super talented. And
that's right.
The powers that be at CBS recognize that.
They're very smart to acknowledge her.
Hey, listen, Captain Mock-a-Lot. Let me tell you a little something. I was perusing the overnights, the ratings for this week in television.
Big Brother.
It's like 1 through 8 is the Olympics and then Big Brother.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's still
a
massively
juggernaut.
Popular
That's why
show.
I'm saying it's likely due to how great Julie Chen is on television.
I think it is likely due to that. You know what's right behind the Big Brother? Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying. A lot of people are watching. Today's celebrity birthdays. Juliana Rancic. She is 42. What does that translate to on planet? Her planet? How many years old
I think
is she?
She's about 6,500.
6,500 on her home planet of Nirpsgore, where she hails from. Little pipe cleaner body and giant golf ball head.
Oh, I hate you guys.
What's going on with her?
She's a lollipop. That's what's going on with her.
She just has a larger head than most.
Right.
And her eyes are
eyes
a different
are the,
size,
are the size
than
of
most.
Teacup saucers.
That does not make her ugly or an alien. She's
it makes
different.
Her an alien. For sure.
Look, I think the fact that they have made her as human-like as they have is
yes.
impressive.
I just find it disturbing when she peels off her latex face and starts eating rats.
I don't think she's doing
that. Always bothers that me is... when she feeds.
No.
Yeah, when
Did
she feeds see... and her lizard face comes out and she starts to eat the live rats, that disturbs me.
What
Never
about that,
that?
What about that time where she's co-hosting the E! News Daily with Seacrest and she killed a guy with her laser vision? Did
oh,
you see
that?
That
was man. That was disturbing.
I missed that too.
Yeah, she's awful.
I'll look into this.
She's 42. Donnie Wahlberg, New Kids, and also Blue Bloods, is 47 years
he
old.
He is so. The founder of ISIS.
I don't
he's
believe,
the founder of ISIS.
I don't believe he was the founder. Huh. He's a member, but I don't think he was a founder.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
That is true. Sean Penn is 56 years old today. And legendary Robert De Niro celebrates his 73rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Enjoyed that. Don't forget on your drive home today, you can listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It's a random act of helpfulness from our friends at the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow is Thursday, and that means two things for sure. One, Dr. Jupinski, his weekly visit. He's going to tell us, by the way, whether Hillary Clinton will survive to make it to the inauguration.
Yeah, she's on death's door.
I've been watching Fox News, and the woman can barely stand.
It's Mm-mm. so cool how they can diagnose from afar
yeah,
over there.
She's
at Fox.
Got,
well, got a gift.
Huge neurological problems and always has stools with her.
And don't forget the seizures and the blackouts.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to ask Dr. Drew to diagnose her from afar, by the way.
Oh, good.
So we'll contribute
long,
to that.
Long-range stool sample.
Also, hey, Ali's the one who brought up the stools. Don't look at me. Also, Jim Rome is back from vacation. We'll talk to him about all things sports, including the Twitter beef that he's in the middle of right now with Coach Harbaugh from Michigan. They're really going
getting,
at each
it's
other.
It's getting intense.
Awesome.
It's kind of ugly. That'll be tomorrow. And as you know, the only place to get your tickets, you can't buy them. You can only win them right here on the Kevin and Bean Show for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
Is right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got more tickets you can win tomorrow right here on K-Rock.